At the Cabot School, librarian Holly Cruz and her students helped create an online reading club for DCF books. The students have been reading Courage Has No Color and doing projects about the triple nickels. Cabot sixth graders Lucia McCullum, Maxine Taylor, Victoria Mayo, and Evan Fuller made a movie based on Tanya Lee Stone's book. It goes something like this.
During World War II, there were African-American paratroopers who jumped off planes. This text is from the first page of Courage Has No Color.
I had a dream the chutes didn't open.
I'm glad everyone paid their insurance.
And now they jump.
The students had questions they wanted to ask the author of Courage Has No Color. We started with sixth grader Evan Fuller, who provided those sound effects.
Why do you write about history, not other things? I'm not saying that I don't like history, but...
Dorothy's List put Evan's and his schoolmates' questions to author Tanya Lee Stone.
When I was your age, I probably would have said the same thing about history. And the biggest reason for that is that there were not a lot of books that were telling historical stories in storytelling ways. So the history was presented to me in fairly dry approaches, and it didn't engage me as a reader. I wasn't excited about it. And as I got older and found books that did do that, I thought, oh, history isn't boring. History are stories about people who are ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. And that's all history is. And so when you start to look at history from that point of view and you realize that these are just amazing stories about incredible people who have done cool things, then it's never boring. And that's why I love to write about history, because that allows me to learn about history in exciting ways that are new to me, the writer. And then I get to share them with you guys.
Sixth grader Lucia McCullum asked about the very beginning of the book, the part she and her classmates used in their movie.
The first two pages of your book is from the perspective of a paratrooper about to jump. Do you think that every paratrooper would feel the same way?
Since you used the word every paratrooper, I'm going to have to say, no, I can't know that every paratrooper would feel that same way. So as a nonfiction author, I have to make sure that I'm not going to gloss over that word that you used. However, I will tell you that I talked to many, many paratroopers in order to write those first two pages. And all of the experiences that they told me themselves were words and phrases that I used in order to be able to write that scene. So that scene is representative of how many paratroopers do feel.
Here's author Tanya Lee Stone reading from that introductory scene from her book.
20 minutes from the drop zone, it's time to get serious. The red warning light near the door turns on. The jump master stands and shouts, "Get ready!" He walks down the line, alerting each jumper with a word in the ear and a touch on the shoulder, making sure each and every man hears him. You shuffle forward, sticking close to the man in front of you. The man in back of you does the same. You watch as the troopers in front of you follow each command, quickly disappearing one by one out the open door of the plane. And now it's your turn. Stand in the door! Nothing separates you from the sky but one last sliver of floor. The tip of your left boot hangs slightly over the edge. The wind whips. The white is blinding, bright. Adrenaline pulses through you. You look down at a brown and green patchwork quilt of open fields and thickets of trees. The roar of the engine pulses with the pounding of your heart. You are over the drop zone. It's time. The jump master bellows, "Go!" You jump. You force yourself to focus. Count. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Your hand is on the reserve chute, ready if you need it. Thwap! Your main chute opens and the line snaps tight. You are floating down, down, down.
Seventh grader Billy O'Connor wondered if the author is as brave as the subjects of her book.
If you were in the same position, do you think you would be brave enough, either to stand up for the right to serve your country or even to be able to jump out of a plane?
That's a great question. And the answer is I hope so. I can't know for sure, because I've never been put in that position, but I really hope so, and I really admire their bravery.
Billy O'Connor also wanted to know how Tanya Lee Stone chose to write about this particular piece of history.
Why the triple nickels? Like, there's so many other all-African-American platoons during World War II, and why did you choose the triple nickels specifically?
So that's a really interesting question, and I'll tell you why. Because there weren't so many other all-African-American platoons during World War II. There were really only a handful, and they were all experimental. They were all put together in order to be able to provide some evidence that African-Americans were equally good soldiers as white soldiers. And the few that did exist, other than the triple nickels, have been written about. So you've heard about the Tuskegee Airmen, but you didn't hear about them until somebody wrote a book about them. And you might have heard of the 769th Tank Battalion, but no one had ever written about the triple nickels, so it was an untold story. So if somebody didn't write about it, it would have remained an untold story. And then we wouldn't know their incredible tale of what they did. So that's why I chose them. I am really drawn to missing pieces of history, and I'm trying to do my part to fill in some of those missing pieces of our history.
Maxine Taylor is a fifth grader at Cabot School. She has a difficult what-if question for author Tanya Lee Stone.
What do you think World War II would be like without African Americans?
Wow, that is really hard to imagine. It's really hard to imagine any period of our history without any group of people who are part of our society. One way that World War II would have been different, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, is that the whole support system for the white soldiers who were allowed to go into combat, because remember, most African American soldiers were not allowed to go into combat, but the whole support system underlying the military in all the branches were the African American soldiers. So they were doing the incredibly important but sometimes thankless jobs of guard duty and kitchen work and driving trucks and loading and unloading cargo and things like that. So without their help, that would have been a huge missing piece of support.
Seventh grader Isabel Maine Torres asked if author Tanya Lee Stone could go back in time to World War II, who would she like to interview?
If you could have met one person during this time and asked them one question, who would it be and what would you have asked?
Another excellent question. So I'm going to answer that by first saying who I was able to meet, because there were a lot of, there were several people in this story who were still alive when I was writing it and I was able to spend time with. So Walter Morris, who's the main hero in the story, I was lucky enough to be able to spend time with and get to know over the last 10 years, as well as a few of the other soldiers. But I think the one person who I have always wanted to go back in history to be able to meet and talk to is Eleanor Roosevelt. And I think the one question I would ask her is how much she actually influenced her husband, because she was responsible for a lot of the things related to this story and other things that happened during World War II and before World War II and after World War II that had to do with equality and racism and discrimination. For example, she was the reason that Franklin Delano Roosevelt put together something called the Black Cabinet so that he could be better informed as to what African Americans in the United States wanted from their government. So I think the answer would be Eleanor Roosevelt, and I would ask her how much she really influenced her husband, the president.
Fifth grader Lucia McCullum asked if Tanya Lee Stone was trying to touch on some broader themes in telling the story of the triple nickels.
The book was obviously about African American soldiers, but were you aiming for an even larger point against racism and discrimination?
I love the way you phrase that question, because the word aiming means that you're thinking about an author's intention, which is really smart. In order to tell the story about these African American soldiers, I also really needed to make a larger point against racism and discrimination. For one reason, to ground you in the historical context of what was going on in America at that time. And the other reason is related to the first reason, is that so you would have a better understanding of why their story is so important. Why does it matter so much? Because if it was set at a different time, it would have a different feeling to it. So really, the answer to your question is yes. I was aiming for an even larger point against racism and discrimination, because that is the backdrop against which this story is set.
Seventh grader Victoria Mayo also lingered on that question.
Do you think discrimination still exists in the military?
I think discrimination still exists everywhere.
And while examples of discrimination are still easy to find, Tanya Lee Stone remains focused on helping kids learn from injustices of the past. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.